Gentlemen, Happy New Year. Chris, every time I see you look like a different human, I'm like, who's that guy? Good, Chris Clark. Gentlemen, Happy New Year. I hope it's been a wonderful start. Had a rough start today to my new year. Got a call this morning. And my mother was rushed to the hospital. So I spent most of my day in the emergency room, which wasn't awesome, but, and I'll be coming back to after our call. It got me thinking about just depth of gratitude, man, sitting in the emergency room, watching people go in and out of there and the suffering and the sadness and the despair fucking sucks. And so I came home and I enjoyed dinner with my family. And just in that time, was so thankful for my health and so thankful for the people that I love and so thankful for all of every one of you guys. And not everyone gets to spend every day in the emergency room to give them a bit of perspective. So I thought, you know, not that I always want to start each call with a bit of perspective, but sometimes regardless of where you are in this moment, regardless of where you are in your life, we have so much to be thankful for. And sometimes it's hard to be thankful for the legs that walk for you every day, even though you don't think about it, and the heart that beats in your chest every day, even the mind. You know, this year, I'll confess something to you guys. This year was the first time in my life that I had a glimpse into what mental health may be. And say this, as a man who grew up very athletic, very disciplined, very focused, very hard-headed, very committed, I just assumed that depression and mental illness was weakness. And it's not. And so this is the first year in my life that I had a glimpse of what it may be like to, again, I don't know what it's like, but a glimpse of what it may be like to experience mental illness. And man, I'm so grateful for my brain. And I think every one of you guys should be grateful for yours. And, you know, Dom's got some experience with this stuff. And sometimes it's just like, it's not my brain. You know, it's like, what if someone, you woke up one day and it's just like, there's something in your brain that doesn't feel like you. Anyways, and so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but God, I hope you guys can take a moment today or every day. Health is not promised. And until it's taken away from us, we don't always take a moment to go, holy shit, I'm grateful. And we don't realize how valuable it is and how lucky we are and how much we take it for granted. And so I encourage you guys today and this year and every year, just take 5 seconds to say thank you for your health and be grateful for your health, because it's not a given, man. Life is not a given. Health is not a given. And you must invest in your health. You must not, and I'm not talking monetarily, I'm talking time, right? And so the reason I want to start off with today's call, speaking about how to set up Q1 for maximum success. If you're in the boat where you're saying, you know, I don't have time, Ben. I don't have time, coach, to sleep well. I don't have time to train every day. I don't have time to eat well. I don't have the resources to invest in my nutrition. Or I just mindlessly do stuff all the time. Man, the emergency room is a very quick reminder of saying, you better fucking make time. Something else. Yeah, if you don't make the time, something else will make you make the time, right? You think of every one of those people in there who's like, gosh, if I had just given a little more time and attention 10 years ago, if I had just given a little more time and attention 20 years ago to these things, I wouldn't be in this position now. So What I think maximum success looks like in Q1, and I don't know everyone's specific story, but I know some foundational things that are going to benefit everyone. At the base of everything we do, gentlemen, is energy. Energy is at the base of every single thing we do. If I doubled your energy today, meaning I gave you twice as much energy, there would never be a need for energy, right? You'd be like, I have more than enough energy to do my workout, and I have more than enough energy to do my work, and I have more than enough energy for my kids and for my wife and for all those things. And so if we could figure out the energy equation, we can figure out how to improve our life. And so I suggest everyone start every quarter with an energy-focused mindset, an energy-focused protocol. That does not mean taking more caffeine. That does not mean taking more stimulants. That means doing everything in your power to get rid of those things, or at least not depend on them. And so one of the things that I suggest we all work toward is a mitochondrial optimization month, which is what I'm doing this first month. So between now and the 17th of January, which is not obviously a full month, it's 2 weeks, but I'm really going to focus on eliminating caffeine use. I still will use caffeine as a pre-workout or something like that, but minimizing it. Definitely do not start your day with it. And allow yourself to, again, so here's where this comes from. Does anyone here wake up in the morning and drink coffee right away? Because you need it? No. What if we just didn't take it, right? What if we didn't take pre-workouts? What if we didn't take, whatever it takes to get us going in the morning? And we forced ourselves to trudge through the mud for a little bit, and forced ourselves to do the cardio, to do the exercise without those things. And forcing ourselves to up-level, like literally thinking about your mitochondria, these little energy-producing organelles, in terms of potentially having like different gears, right? Where many of us are operating in second and third gear, and we have fourth and fifth, but we just don't always access them. And so like training your body to access a higher level of capability at the level of the mitochondria, I think, is a linchpin for all of us to feel and perform better in 2024. So I'll give you some strategies. One, don't compromise on your sleep, right? And the first thing that you compromise on, your first way you compromise on your sleep, is by consuming caffeine late in the day. If you're consuming caffeine after noon, you're compromising your next night's sleep, whether you know it or not. Like, I can drink caffeine at 7 p.m. and get to sleep. Bullshit. Your sleep is compromised. Everyone's sleep is compromised. I don't care if you're a fast processor or a slow processor. So don't compromise your sleep right now, gentlemen. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in, right? It doesn't matter if you're in like, oh man, I got to bite the bullet now, and I'm going hard. It's the season of life of pushing and burning the candle at both ends. No, don't do it. After seeing what I saw in the emergency room today, man, like, there's no season of life that's worth it, right? Like, is it worth it to make a couple extra bucks, but carve off the extra 5 years on the end of your life? No. Right? The more we can invest in our health now, the longer our runway is for making money, the longer our runway is for improving ourselves and personal mastery and personal growth, the longer our runway is to improve ourselves and our ability to show up for our partner and for our children. Give yourself a longer runway. We always give ourselves these really short time horizons of like, I got to get this done in 12 months, or I got to get this done in 3 months. Push it back. Right? As long as you have your health, you have a longer trajectory, you have a longer runway. So make this quarter, or at least maybe this month, about reinvesting in longevity, reinvesting. It doesn't matter what age you are, if you're 35, or if you're 55, if you're 85, it doesn't matter. Reinvest in longevity. Spend punctuated aspects of your life, or ultimately maybe your entire life, reinvesting in your longevity, right? I get it's not always possible to do 100% of the time, but how do we maximize success in Q1? Well, here's my suggestion. It's going to be different for everybody, but here's my suggestion. There's probably one, two, or three things in your life right now that you do that you know if you remove these things, everything gets better for you. We talked about this in the last call. Identify what that is. So it could be, man, you know, I tend to do this. I tend to have coffee late in the day. I tend to not go to bed early. I tend to fuck around on my phone before bed. I tend to use my phone first thing in the morning. I tend to eat junk food. I tend to miss workouts. What is that? What is those 1, 2, and 3 things that you already know are the linchpin in your life, but you just don't do it? And then find a way to commit to the smallest incremental version of improving it, right? So if it's whatever that happens to be, like, again, if you guys want to share some of what your linchpins are right now, we can walk through some strategies. What is that one thing you're like, man, if I change that, I told you what my 3 were last year, right? For anyone who wasn't on the last call of last year, for me, it's going to be scheduling my life, ruthlessly scheduling my life. And Sarah's on here now, I think. Nope, she left. Yeah, she's still here. Sarah helps me schedule my life, and I'm committed to scheduling everything in my life. Otherwise, I things fall apart, as you know. That's one. The second one is meditation, non-compromising on meditation. And so the reason I think scheduling is important is because that I can consciously choose my priorities rather than just life taking over. The reason I think meditation is important is because it allows me to choose my focus instead of constantly being distracted and being pulled by my urges, right? I don't believe emotions should guide decisions. I believe logic and objectivity should guide my decisions anyways. And the third one, I think, for me is cardiovascular fitness and aerobic fitness, because it's energy, right? At the end of the day, I don't do cardiovascular fitness and aerobic training for fat loss. I do it for energy. And so if I can make those three things my strengths in 2024, I will win the year, right? It's not a matter of if, I will win the year. So does anyone have any thoughts or questions around those things before I get into longevity protocols? Go ahead, Russ. Thanks for being here, brother.
Ben, I can say I definitely share your need for scheduling. I was just thinking that earlier today, especially when I missed my call with Coach Chris Fudge, which is completely on me, because just everything going on and spinning sometimes seems like out of control. If I were organized and scheduled, I know that could change everything. And it's been a weak point for way too long.
Yeah. And so here's something that's helped me. And if you guys have any advice for me, I'd love to take it. But I'll say the thing that's helping me is I'm time blocking. I'm chunking, right? The thing that I waste so much time on, I don't speak for her, but I waste so much time on, is changing task switching from meeting to deep work to family to cell phone. Like, no more. Deep work happens in chunks. And to be honest, I'll probably be looking at 4 to 6 hour windows of deep work, not straight through, but I'm pretty good with working for 2.5 to 3 hours straight, taking a 45 minute to 60 minute break and then doing it again. So my intention is Mondays and Fridays are deep work days. Tuesdays and Thursdays are primarily meetings and whirlwind days like errands and stuff. And then Wednesday for me is content days. So podcasts, YouTube, writing. So I just like chunked out my days so that I'm able to do that. Now, not everyone has the flexibility I do, of course, or the ability to control their schedule. But you can definitely look for time blocks. And every one of you guys, if you're having a hard time getting a workout in, I keep coming back to this benefit and this reality of like, just do it in the morning. Right. Just do it in the morning. And sometimes like, oh, do I get up? Do I sleep? Do I train? I get it's a hard battle to fight, but there's always a solution. Russ, do you have any hacks for your time? Are you looking for some?
I'm completely open.
Man, the best, I think I've shared this with you guys before, but the best time management book that I found is actually, there's probably many, but I've read many, but many of them are kind of useless. The best one that I've read, there's two things that I found very useful. There's a video on YouTube, and you don't have to watch it because I'll tell you what the premise is. You can watch it if you like, but it's not super useful. It's called the 50 minute focus finder, 50 minute focus finder. And this guy just suggests every Sunday, once a week, sit down for 50 minutes, start a timer. Don't look, check your phone. Don't look up. Write down every single thing you have to do that week. And that's like everything from I have to do my laundry to I have to prep my meals, to I have to get my workout in, to I have to call my mom, everything. And you can categorize them and you create your like subcategories of life. It's like just brain dump it. And then what you do, what that does is because you have a list, you can actually just objectively choose the most important things and time block those. You're like, hey, because what happens is you end up doing things that are urgent but unimportant. And it takes up time where the important things should have been, right? The things that are typically not urgent but are highly important. So the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is a book that everyone should read. And don't just read it, like commit it to your being. And the other one that most people haven't heard of and that I mentioned a few weeks back is Chet Holmes, The Ultimate Sales Machine. It's a wonderful sales book, but the first chapter is about productivity, time management, productivity. And Chet Holmes was the, the business manager, some bigwig for Charlie Munger, who obviously is a very wealthy man. He's recently passed. But Chet Holmes basically ran all of his businesses. It was probably the most useful time management strategy I've ever come across. So I like those two things. So the 50-minute focus finder helps me just like get it all out. So I know what I'm not missing anything. And then I plug it into my week. And then, you know, obviously you have to carve time for things that are reactive. There has to be time for things to be reactive, just not all the time.
Thank you, Ben. I'll grab those right away.
My pleasure, brother. Thank you for being here. Anything else, guys? So I would love to support with helping you guys make success your reality, not just physically, right? I think this community continues, as you guys get to know me, the ones in Costa Rica, this community becomes about so much more than just how you look, feel, and perform, right? It's how you look, feel, and perform and how that translates into everything else in your life. And so if you're not showing up at your best physically and mentally, like training is the linchpin, because energy is always the linchpin. And we talk about energy. Energy comes down to obviously fitness, but also comes down to stress and sleep. So those are your kind of three things that we need to manage. And if you guys have any questions or support required in those areas, I literally spend an enormous amount of my time understanding what's called psychophysiology, right? The interaction between the psyche, the brain, and the body, the psychophysiology kind of two-way motor highway that is really governing your energy, governing your body-mind interface. Oh, I sent out a video recently that I want to share with you guys. You guys wouldn't have got it. It went out to our email list. But here's one of my biggest takeaways that to me feels obvious, but so many things feel obvious to me that aren't obvious to other people. So I want to share this to you because this hasn't always been obvious to me. So bear with me. Give me your attention. Would you all agree that every emotional state that we carry with us, every state that our body exists in, minute to minute to minute, carries with it an energetic signature? What that means is we're energetic beings. We're all vibrating, right? It's a vibrational frequency. So you guys can all understand that someone who's really angry has a very specific feel to them. When you can sense it, you can feel it. Someone who's very happy, very joyful has a feel. Someone who's abundant has an energy, has a feel. You guys know that intuitively. You guys following me so far? Yeah. So it makes sense then. We can assume that if the most extreme ends of those emotions carry with it an energetic signature, an emotional signature, it's literally a vibration in your body, that small versions of that, you know, not the extreme, the lesser versions of that also carry with them some type of vibrational signature. And sometimes there can be some intermingling, some interweaving of these emotions. But oftentimes, most of us carry with us a specific energetic signature that comes with us, whether we're going to the gym, whether we're going to, you know, dinner with our partner, we're going wherever, we have this energetic signature. And it's just, at its most literal level, it's a vibration, right? And so you can all think of someone in your life who's come into your room and come into your life, and they've changed the way you feel. They're so strong in their energy. It could be joy. It could be happiness. It could be anger. It could be anything, fear, frustration. They literally change your vibration, change the way you feel about yourself. And if that's true, wouldn't it make sense that we then, as humans, should have the ability to, one, become aware of our current energy vibration, two, change it, right? So if I'm sitting here and sitting in this state of abundance and joy and gratitude and love, that comes with it some type of vibrational signature. And if I want to create more of that, I have to become aware of what it feels like and then be intentional in creating it. And that's why meditation is one of my non-negotiables. So if I sit in meditation, and I think we may have done this in the past, but if I sit in meditation and I think about gratitude, I think about it in my mind, but can I embody it, right? You know, we all know what the embodiment of gratitude, we should know what the embodiment of gratitude feels like, or the embodiment of love, or the embodiment of joy, or the embodiment of abundance. All of these things have a vibrational signature. Most people can intellectualize these emotions, but not everyone can embody these emotions. Are you guys following me? Do you understand the difference between an intellectualization, like I can think about gratitude, but that's not the same as feeling it in my body? So what I encourage you all to do in meditation is to create the thought of the emotional state you want to create, and then practice in creating the embodiment of the emotional state that you want to create. Because the better you get at the embodiment of the emotional state, that then becomes the vibrational signature you can take with you into life. And people think that you have to achieve the end result before you can be the thing, and it's opposite. It's be, do, then you'll have, right? So if I can be the emotional signature of frequency that I want to achieve in life, I can embody it. I can embody all these things. I can literally walk into somebody's room and change their state, and everyone's going to be like, what's that guy about? Like, I want more of that. And so now you become a leader instead of a follower. You become the person who changes the energy in the room instead of becoming the energy in the room. And this is what I encourage you all to work toward embodying this year. If you change nothing else in your life, and you just change your vibration. And again, I'm not trying to get into the woo-woo space, because this is pretty scientifically valid stuff. Like, if I just change my vibration, I can change the vibration of every one of you guys by being a powerful being, right? By being a powerful energy. And this is not something that's genetic or historical. This is something that happens with practice. We can all feel it a little bit. I can kind of feel gratitude. But what if you got to the point where we're just like, holy smokes, I feel so much gratitude. I feel so much abundance. I feel so much love. Now I can take that with me and start to spread that to other people. And I think if we all start to embody the emotion of choice, life changes, right? In the complex world that we live in, if you allow yourself to be influenced by the energetic state of those around you, your trajectory will start to go in a direction that you don't love, that you don't choose, right? And man, the only thing I could wish for every one of you guys is that your life goes in the direction that you choose, not in the direction that someone else chooses for you. I say this to my children all the time. Like, if you don't intentionally choose your direction, someone else will choose it for you, whether intentionally or otherwise. And so guys, as grown men, I know you guys are leaders in your community, leaders in your family. Man, lead, right? You don't lead with your words, you lead with who you are, your embodiment. And so if you want your team to embody gratitude, love, and abundance, again, I'm practicing it every day and getting better every day. I'm not perfect, but far from it, right? But this is something that's been like, yeah, you need to embody the vibration. And my suggestion is you just punctuate your day. I do this before every meal as a way to make this practical? I do it in the morning when I first wake up. I do it before every meal, and then I do it before bed. It doesn't have to be hours at a time. It could be minutes, right? It could be breaths, and learn to embody these energetic signatures. Does this feel valuable to anybody? Does this feel like it's like, man, what the hell are we talking about? I thought we were talking about belly muscles. So, man, hopefully this, I haven't lost you guys. Hopefully this feels like something that you can actually apply.
Then can you walk us through, like, say, your thoughts before breakfast, like your strategy, just so we have an idea when we try to implement that for ourselves?
Absolutely. I mean, so, man, the thing that really kicks me off, like how I really kind of get into that zone, is I'm really practiced, well practiced, at the emotion of gratitude. And I want to call you on something, and it wasn't done intentionally, but I'm going to call you on this. You said thinking about, right? Like, what are we thinking about? And thinking is the start, but thinking is not the end. Thinking is the start, but embodiment is the goal. And embodiment means I literally feel this emotion. So many people are disconnected from what they feel from the neck down. Like, I don't feel anything. Yeah, because your brain and your nervous system have disconnected from the body, because most people are trying to avoid feelings of inadequacy, anxiety, fear, overwhelm, right? Unfortunately and fortunately, we have to connect deeply into what we feel. And I'll tell you, it brings with it many positives and many potential negatives. Because the more you learn to feel what's going on in your life, the more you feel the negative stuff too, man. And it's not always joyful. It's not always fun. It's not always pretty. But you can overcome it. You can overpower it by learning to feel deeply the powerful states, the states that you choose. So I'll tell you what I'm getting to, Evan. So when I close my eyes before a meal, which is every meal, I think, and then I feel, I'm so grateful for my family. I'm so grateful for my health. I'm so grateful for my team. I'm so grateful for my body. I'm so grateful for my mind. I'm so grateful for my strength. And you see, I kind of like get into it, I'm waiting for what I actually feel to come through. I'm like, I'm grateful for that. And it's not just like an intellectualization. At first, it's just intellectualization. I just think about it. But eventually, it's like, man, I couldn't feel it anymore. It's just powerful. So here's a trick. Most of us, specifically, I'll use my children as an example. The minute my children were born, everything in my life changed. This is why so many people have these, like, whether positive or potentially negative incidents in their life or events in their life that cause a change. It's because they finally learn how to connect with emotion. It can be positive, it can be negative, but they learn how to feel it. And when you learn how to feel anything below the neck, you can start to change it. You can start to change what you feel because you're just connected. And so for me, it started with that. Like, I can always go back to the moment when my kids were born, and I was just like, oh, like this punch in the face of love and gratitude and overwhelm. So find that emotional. It could be when you got married. It could be, I don't know, when something happened. Just like this, something allowed you to connect to your body. And so many of us like muted out, like, nope, not going to feel that right now. That's fine. You get to choose. But if you want to change your vibration, it starts with like allowing yourself to feel. Questions or thoughts or feedback? Does that help it?
Thanks for that, Ben. That does help. But it's funny you mentioned something that happens. I remember when my dad died in 2014, and that was like the thing for me that like changed how I feel. And so I can relate to what you're saying, because that was a big shift for me. And also, all the best to your mom. I know you mentioned that earlier, but all the best, and hope everything goes well there.
Thanks, brother. So death is an interesting thing, right? And I borrow this from Dr. John DeMartini, who's a guy that I give enormous credit to for so many things in my life. But it's like every single event in your life brings with it positives and brings, he calls it, benefits and drawbacks, right? Everything has benefits and drawbacks. No matter how shitty the event felt, there's benefits. No matter how great the event felt, there's drawbacks. Everything is balanced. Everything is neutral. So when something great happens to you, be like, okay, this thing great happened, but what is the thing that could be a potential drawback or is a potential drawback? when something bad happens, you're like, there's some benefit I'm receiving here. What is the benefit? And that's sometimes hard for people to get their head around. But after working with DeMartini, you're like, he's completely right. He'd been doing it for over 50 years. And he's like, I've never been wrong. He's like, it's always there. You just have to look for it. So while my mom is not doing very well, my mom, I hope and I pray, pulls through. She's given me so much. And I go into that room with her, and I don't go with fear, and I don't go with sadness, and I don't go with like pity. I just go with so much fucking love, man. Like, she can feel the love pouring off me from my heart and from my face just being in that room with her, because that's how I feel toward her, man. The amount that she's given me in my life, I'm like, I'm just oozing love toward her. And so I'm not going to go there and cry. I'm not going to go there and allow the energy state of the building to pull me down. Not because I'm conscious of it, just because like I have so much love that this lady gave me life, that she gave me strength, that she gives me the opportunity every day to become a better man every day. Yeah. So I take that energy into this, and I encourage you guys all to just like, what energy, what's the benefit you can pull out of every situation in life?
Ben, I have a question about this, like emotions and that stuff, because like, I could think of like when my grandfather passed away when I was 8 years old, I grieved, but I didn't know I was grieved. Like, I grieved for my grandfather for 15 plus years, but I didn't realize it because some type of emotion, but I couldn't identify it, was every single time I went outside in the cold, I cried because my grandfather passed in December. Every single time I smelled a flower, I got emotional. I don't know why, and that stuff. And every single time if someone passed away, I couldn't face death and that stuff. But I realized that it was a connection to my grandfather's death for when I was 8 years old. And I was going through the emotions, couldn't identify it, couldn't understand what I was going through. And for me, it's like trying to connect my mind with my emotions is very difficult for me. So.
Yeah, man, again, this is not, I don't want to say that I'm a therapist. I don't want to say that I'm a psychiatrist. I don't want to say that I'm an expert. But in that moment, Dom, where you're emotional, in that moment where you're, I'm pouring your mouth, maybe you're missing him. What is the benefit to you, right? So is it, and it's things that come up for me. Like, is it, he allowed you to understand what emotions were. Like, maybe prior to that, you just like, I didn't really feel this way about anything. Like, oh, now I can actually connect with what these emotions are. And so many men, you guys will hear this. We don't connect to emotions. Like, no, I'm not. I always say like, nope, now's not the time for me to participate in these emotions. I feel emotions, but I can choose not to participate. Right. I'm like, nope, now's not the time. I got shit to do. Or I can be like, I have to allow this to process, because if you don't process it, it's going to stick with you. And so maybe he's allowing you to allow things to move through you, man. Like, feeling the emotion is not bad. It's allowing you to process, right? Allowing you to think, allowing you to experience, allowing you to feel. And we're feeling beings, man. So like, maybe there's a benefit there. Maybe he's allowed you to enjoy and appreciate the smell of a flower. Maybe you weren't able to do it to the level you are now because of that. So while he passed, you do lose a piece of you. You lose a piece of something that's important to you. And you feel like, God, there's something missing in me, or the, you know, what I'm putting words in your mouth again. But also with that comes the equal and opposite, not necessarily opposite, but the equal and balanced benefit. You just have to train yourself to find it. And so, Dom, if you want to learn about this stuff, as I said, I don't want to claim to know what I'm talking about or be an expert in this stuff, but I'm just sharing my personal experiences. Dr. DeMartini, man, like, everyone take this guy's class. You can do it in person, move heaven and earth to do it in person. Do the breakthrough experience. It's so one of our coaches, Coach Greg, did it, and he's a different man. in days, not like years, mid days. And anyways, I don't want to spend all the day on talking about that, but it's a phenomenal experience. Any other questions, thoughts, comments, feedback?
And Ben, when you were talking about embodying, you know, the feeling of gratitude, and I don't know if it was Brian from The Heroic or not, but, or Huberman, but it was talking about, you know, remembering times when people were grateful for you helps you to be into it instead of being grateful for things or other people. It was something along those lines where if you could embody that feeling, oh man, I can't remember if it was for you or against, I lost the thread. But anyways, it was something along those lines where, because he was talking about that, where you got to really embody that. It's not a feeling. It's just like being totally immersed in, you know, gratitude, or that feeling of gratitude is where, I think it was Huberman, but anyways, I don't know.
I understand where you're going. I don't remember the exact example, but I understand what you're talking about. I'll tell you what, man, everyone I believe will have their own experience with emotions. I can't tell you what gratitude feels like because it may be completely different for you and for me. And my encouragement to everybody is whatever it is, just be willing to sit in it and be willing to go a little bit deeper into it. And realize you get to choose. Because as an example, there's emotions that were like, man, I don't want to experience anger right now. I don't want to experience frustration right now. I don't experience overwhelm right now. But those are all part of the emotional experience as well. But maybe you can choose when you decide to participate in it, right? Because I feel sadness, man. I feel anxiety. But I'm like, I don't have the ability to participate in this right now, the desire to participate in this right now. I know it's there. And I know at some point I'm going to have to process it. But if I'm in the middle of something important, like I'm like, my family needs me, now's not the time for me to break down and be like, I can't, guys, I can't do this. No, like, you know, put it in your pocket, write it down, remember to process this later, keep going. That to me is like the embodiment of the masculine, right? It's like, yeah, we know it's there. I want to know it's there because that shit drives me. That drives me hard, right? When I feel emotions in some direction. But I'm not always going to allow myself to participate. So I said, just kind of in summary, Spencer, just like whatever it is, be willing to experience it at the deepest level that you can. And I think that's what Brian or Huberman were getting at, is like, allow yourself to just be flooded with it, however it comes. I do remember somebody talking about that, but I don't remember the context. Questions, comments, feedback on this? Okay, so it's good timing because, guys, I promised I would talk a little bit about my longevity protocol. And when we talk about longevity, everyone has to be different. There's no one longevity protocol that's going to work for everybody because every one of us is experiencing the world in a different way. Every one of us is experiencing the positives, the benefits, and the drawbacks in the world in a different way. Some of you have more drawbacks in a specific area, and you're like, gosh, I'm so overwhelmed with this specific thing in my life right now, or this specific thing in my life isn't going well. And whatever that, call it bottleneck, that limiter is for you right now, that needs to be the thing you address first if longevity is the goal. So many people are talking about like, I need to take NAD for longevity. I need to take fucking spermidine for longevity. I need to take, hold on a minute. If you don't fix the basic foundational things at the bottom of the pyramid before you start stacking these little really small levers at the top, nothing else matters. So as an example, if you have this area of stress in your life, you're like, man, I'm really massively stressed and I'm not going to make that go away, but I'm going to go over here and take some fucking calcium deglucurate so my estrogen levels come down. You don't stand a chance, right? So you got to look at the big rocks first when it comes to longevity. And the big rocks, gentlemen, are going to be stress, sleep, and exercise. Those are your three big rocks. You could also add gut health on there, but gut health, in my mind, goes hand in hand with stress. Gut health and stress are inextricably linked. So you could also stack mindset on there, right? Like, let's fix the mindset so we're not stressed. So sleep, stress, and exercise. Those, in my opinion, those are your three big pillars. If you get those things under wraps, everything else will improve. Now, can we do those things? Now, if we look at sleep, stress, and exercise, we could look at them as things I have to do, or we could meta those and we could say, these are, I'm so grateful for the stress in my life that allows me to get stronger, allows me to be intentional, allows me to work harder and push in these directions so that I can become better as a man. I'm so grateful for the exercise I get to do in this body that supports me, right? And it changes the way you look at anything. One of the metaphors I often use is, as a professional bodybuilder, first 10 years of my bodybuilding life, I did every workout because I had to. And I'll tell you guys a true story. So 17, I was climbing a mountain and it was a 9.5 hour ascension. And I think it was like 4 hours down or 3.5 hours down. 9.5 hours was the intended duration up. And I got 90 minutes into this thing and I was like, there's no fucking way. Like, I was like, there's no way I'm gonna make it. I was like, my legs were just searing. My lungs were burning. I was like in my head. I was like, this sucks. Like, why did I do this? And all of a sudden, it was pretty treacherous. We were going pretty hard. The guy who was kind of leading the pack was, you know, he does 100-mile marathons on the weekend. He's just a beast. And I was like, dude, I'm just not there. I'm 90 minutes into this thing. And I was like, there's no way that I can endure this for another 8 hours. There's no way. And I look up and it was this beautiful blue sky and the sun was shining and it literally wasn't a cloud in the sky. And I just listened to the silence. I was like, oh, I get it. I get to do this. I'm so grateful that I get to be out here on this mountain with legs that work and a heart that beats in my chest and a mind that supports me and three amazing friends who I love more than anything in the world. I'm so grateful I get to do this. And my mind shifted. And the next 8 hours up the mountain, it literally felt like I floated. There was no effort whatsoever. It was like I floated up the mountain. And all it was a little perspective shift. So I went from, oh God, I have to do this work, to like, oh, this is my blessing. This is my lesson. I'm growing. I'm expanding. I'm getting better. Same event, different perspective. So whatever you guys are experiencing in your life right now, if you can learn to shift that perspective, that, gentlemen, will be the biggest lever you have in longevity. Because if you constantly allow yourself to be trudging through the mud and you're hating what you're doing and you're resenting some aspect of your life, resentment, stress, fear, overwhelm, those are what's going to kill you. And so if we can eliminate those things and turn it into some level of, man, this is an adventure. Like everything I do, yeah, it's hard. I work my ass off. But I've never worked a day in my life. Now all of a sudden you're like, okay, stress levels just dropped, right? Do you still have stress? Do you still experience the feeling of stress? Yes, but it's not the same negative effect. It doesn't like overwhelm you, right? So start there. Stress, sleep, exercise. If we have all those boxes checked, now we can start looking at, okay, well, what are the other things in my life that need to be there to ensure that I extend my life based on what research says, right? Now we start looking at, well, I'll tell you one thing that I didn't appreciate until I was probably 40 years old is community and family, right? So many of you guys know my story. Many of you guys don't. Like, I didn't have a family growing up, man. I was the lone wolf. Everything I did until I was probably 35, well, probably 32 was by myself. And I didn't know. I was like, fuck it. I'm good. Like, I'm good. Don't need any of this. And then you find people who actually love you and actually have your back. You're like, oh, there's value in this. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to protect myself. I can just be myself. And so my theme for 2024 for myself is authenticity. Because when I'm authentically myself, it's the most beautiful place to lead from. Because I don't have to be anybody for you. I'm just me. And if you guys love me, you love me. And if you hate me, that's okay too. I'm like, but I can just authentically me because I'm able to be me better than anyone else. And so the thing that allowed me to realize that was surrounding myself with a community of men and women who didn't expect me to be anything, didn't need me to be anything for them. They just show up for me because I'm me, and I show up for them because they're them. What a beautiful thing, man. There's no exchange required. It just is. And that to me has been a big boost in the, call it, longevity department. That's a hard one. That's a hard one, right? Being able to be yourself without having to meet expectations of the world, because we're all born. And as soon as we're born, love is conditional for most of us, right? Not all, but most. Love is conditional. If you act this way, I will love you. If you say these words, I will love you. If you like these things, you could be my friend. Yeah. Everyone else grew up with that shit. Yeah. It is what it is. So anyone have questions or comments or feedback about that specific thing? Any clarity? Like maybe how do you move toward authenticity?
I just have something I want to share to the group, and I keep thinking about it.
Shoot, bro.
As you talk, and it has some similarity, but like, I just finished this book. We're doing a leadership class at work with our executives, and the book's called TED, the Empowerment Dynamic. And in a nutshell, the book's about, you know, choosing to be a victim or choosing to be a creator. And a lot of the things you were saying are just that, right? Like, you can look at things as problems, or you can look at things as solution based. Is this a problem, or am I going to fix this thing, or am I going to go forward and create a solution for this thing? And, you know, for me, like, I knew all these things in this book, but it was really cool to be able to like look at it and then have words to describe these feelings or these thoughts or these things. And so for me, it's a good fresh look going into the new year. And like, you know, I think I recommend anybody who's having issues with some of those things to get a book and read it and choose to be, you know, like that person who comes up with solutions and does the hard things because they want to grow.
Yeah. And maybe the hard things represent an adventure rather than an adversary. Although I think an adversary is useful. When you look at a hard thing, some people look at it like, well, I don't believe in myself. I don't trust myself enough to go tackle this. Some people look at it and go, I have no idea how I'm going to figure it out, but I'm going to try. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to give it everything I've got. And the growth happens in there, right? The growth happens in, like, if we all set goals that are comfortable, like, you don't grow. Set a goal that scares the shit out of you. So you're like, oh, whatever happens, I may not get it, but I'm going to get further than I thought I would have. Or you guys have all heard that 1,000 times, but it's just so true, man. Like, a goal that doesn't make you stretch as a person is not even worth setting in my mind, right? And if you guys haven't studied Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, he's the OG, man. That guy's one of the OGs of the personal development, personal mastery space. He's unbelievable. And he says, don't set the goal. He was specific to money. Don't set the goal of making $1 million for the money. Set the goal for the person it makes of you to achieve it. You can translate that into anything. You know, don't set a goal to put on 50 pounds of muscle for the muscle, because the muscle will be something you're going to want to lose anyways. Say, I set the goal to put on 50 pounds of muscle for the person it makes of me to achieve it. That to me just like resonates in the back of my head every day. What goal am I setting here? Who am I becoming in the process? Because that's what matters. Guys, I've said this before, but the muscle is fucking bullshit. It doesn't matter, I promise. But what matters is the person you're becoming in the process. Muscle is awesome, but it should be a byproduct of your character. It shouldn't be the primary objective. I don't believe that. Like, you look, the way you look is a representation of who you are on the inside. And if you flip that in your mind, rather than be like, oh, when I look this way, I'm going to feel this way about myself. No, it won't happen. Trust me, I got there. It doesn't change. Nothing changes. What changes is the person you become along the journey.
Basically, your character changes, right?
So, Dom, every time you set a goal, and let's say the goals of this group are, I want to lose fat and I want to build muscle. Maybe I want to get strong. And every time you follow through on that goal, you're overcoming something, right? To not quit, you overcome something. To not cut corners, you overcome something. To not cheat yourself on the extra reps, to not cheat yourself on the 5 minutes of cardio. Every time you do that, you're expressing your character and you have an opportunity to become something better or reinforce something worse. And those aren't the right words, better and worse, but my poverty of language. To become the best version of yourself versus reinforce a disempowered version of yourself every single time. That's the power of goals. It's not the goal itself. It's the journey along the way, man. It's like, oh yeah, I followed my diet. Yeah, you did. And you prove to yourself, the only person in the world that actually knows is you. If you can prove to yourself, you're like, oh yeah, I can do this, right? I can do this. And you start to believe in yourself. You know, the goals get bigger. You're like, oh, first we set small goals because we don't really believe in ourselves. And then we set slightly bigger goals. And then eventually we set these world changing goals, right? We're like, yeah, I can change the whole world. Why? I don't fucking know. Because everything I've done in the past, I know I'm going to do. So why not try something big? And if I fail, oh man, at least I got pretty darn close, right? So one thing I want for every one of you guys, like if anyone leaves this community and becomes 5% better, 50% better, 500% better in anything, that's what I want for every one of you guys. That I hope to hold that candle or that flame for you guys and fan it, you know, like whatever it is. It's not about the muscle, guys. It never is. Like, is it about health? Yes, because health drives energy, which drives greatness. That's what I'd say the root of everything we do is, or at least the root of my mission is I just want to fan your flame so you believe in yourself to do bigger shit. The evolution of muscle intelligence is the growth of the masculine.
I would definitely say I think it's probably been 8 months since I've been with the group. I would definitely say my character and me as a person has outachieved my muscle growth, which has been good. To what you're saying, like, I'm awesome with that. The muscle will catch up. And if it keeps going that way, then like, I'm okay with the end result of having amazing character, and doing hard things and like having great perspective on life and being a better husband and being a better coach and leader, in person at the end of the day.
Well, brother, it's the difference between doing it once and making it a part of who you are, right? Like anyone can lose fat once, but not everyone can, well, I think everyone can, but not everyone does make it a part of this is just who I am. So what you guys, I hope, are embodying is like, this is who I am. I train every day. I eat well every day. I'm a positive, uplifting person every day for everyone I meet. And this is who I am. Not just like, oh, I put on 30 pounds of muscle once and it's gone. Like, no, man, like make that part of you who you are.
I can concur with that too. I've been just over a year, which seems crazy that I've been involved with the community. Same professionally around the house, you know, physically as one thing, but you're right. It's the other pieces and it's the journey. You know, yeah, you're dieting, but like you said, so what? It's the what it does as you're growing, as you know, as a person, as a human. You know, my kids are watching me, you know, be strict with my diet, train every day, you know, be more productive at work, sleeping better, all that stuff. So it's so holistic that, you know, yeah, we come here for abs and bigger chest muscles, but at the end of the day, we're getting so much more.
Thanks, Evan. Yeah. And man, one perspective I offer you to consider is the term diet, right? I like to catch people on the words because I know I value when people do that for me. Maybe it's not a diet, right? Maybe it's just like, hey man, I'm just pulling back some calories. Right, just this phase of my year, I just intentionally regressed my calories to drop the body fat. Like the idea of like I'm doing a diet, well, it's not really a diet. Like you're just doing a lifestyle shift, where I'm intentionally going to regress my calories by 10 to 20%, so that I can drop body fat, so I can be healthier, so I can have better energy, so I can look better, rather than like it's a diet. Because what a diet insinuates is that it ends and then you're going to potentially, again, because words in our brain matter, you could potentially go the other direction. Like, well, that doesn't have to be the reality. It's like play with the meaning of words sometimes.
I think I actually usually do. I think it might have been a Freudian slip, because I know when people say to me, hey, well, why aren't you having a beer? Oh, it's, or why are you having pizza with us? I just don't want it. You know, because are you dieting? No, this is just what I do. Right. So it's funny you say that. But yeah, I usually use the proper language when it comes to nutrition or the lifestyle that I choose to live now.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Evan.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So to be respectful of your time, I want to give you guys some insights into, once we have all those foundational things established, right? You guys are doing all the emotional things, the stress things, the sleep things, the exercise stuff, the nutritional stuff. Well, now, can there be some longevity interventions that work? Yes. And so I've been doing a lot of research. I've got some articles coming out soon. Probably have some podcasts soon on some longevity things that I found that I think are just, that are just remarkable. And I've started them myself, and the benefit I've seen so far, I wouldn't say is like, you're not going to be like, oh man, you did something different like this, but there's definitely a difference. And so there's two things and a few additional ones that I'll tell you about that I've been playing with. So most of you guys would have known that in early December, I think it was the 4th or 5th, I went to Mexico and did stem cells for the second time. Stem cells, I did it the first time last October, and I had stem cells injected into my Achilles tendon, which I had torn that year, and my shoulder, my right shoulder, which was popping out about 20 to 25 times a day, usually just put my hand above my head and pop out. So like, can you imagine how that worked for my training? So I went and got stem cells last year in my Achilles and my shoulder, and man, they're completely healed, like 90-95%. So I went back this year in December, did it again, didn't do my Achilles again, did my shoulder again, did an IV, and I absolutely see a difference. And I think, so if you look at the 9 hallmarks of aging, which now, by the way, there's 12. They've changed. It used to be 9 things that they determined. And the hallmarks of aging are these things that they say, if we can stop these problems and fix these problems, we can effectively stop the aging process. So there's like, you know, DNA breakage and stem cell exhaustion and, you know, a long list of them. So we just start checking these boxes. Stem cells are something I would suggest people consider if you have the financial capability. Benefits I've seen is tremendous increases in energy, tremendous acceleration in recovery. The other one I'm looking at is kind of multifold answer. Peptide bioregulators. Has anyone heard of peptide bioregulators? All right. So I'm not sure that this is an enormous lever yet, but I've started my self-experiment. And here's where this comes from. I'll give you guys the 30-second backstory. I'll be respectful of your time, try to get you out of here quick. In 1973, the Russians were in a Cold War, and they were spending, their military was spending up to 6 months in these submarines that were right beside their nuclear reactors, right? They had nuclear reactors in the submarines. So they wouldn't see sunlight. Their food was kind of jacked up. They wouldn't be getting a lot of exercise. They tried. These guys would come back and they're just broken, right? Everything was broken. So they tasked this one guy. He said, well, there's no budget. As much money as you need, you've got it. Fix them. So he's doing research and he comes across these peptides, starts injecting people and administering these oral peptides. And the change, the measurable change in humans was remarkable. So there's 50 years of human data on these peptide bioregulators on how he basically rejuvenates people's organs. So there's 21 naturally occurring peptide bioregulators and then a bunch of synthetic ones. And so I've been experimenting with these. And so I'll give you guys some names if you want to play with the research. There's a guy named Vladimir Kavinson, K-H-A-V-I-N-S-O-N, out of Russia. There's a guy here in the U.S., Dr. Bill Lawrence. There's a guy in the U.K., his name I forget right now, but I'll remember in a minute, who are basically leading the charge. And the reason I'm interested in this, above all, is because everything you see on longevity, the resveratrol studies, the NAD studies, the spermidine studies, the alpha-ketoglutarate studies, these things are all in either mice or worms. There's no studies being done on humans. So when we see 50 years of human data objectively reversing people's biological age, so as an example, after 10 years of taking peptide bioregulators, there's a group of people who took them over, or it's not consistently, but it's kind of spaced over 10 years. You know, someone whose chronological age was 77, now their biological age was in the 30s. So they're effectively operating at someone who's, you know, in their 30s. And again, if you guys are all in the Telegram group, I'll drop some YouTube videos in there for you guys to watch. But it's all measurable differences. And it's just remarkable. And now you could speculate, well, one, is this honest? Two, what are these measurement mechanisms accurate? You could speculate all those things, which obviously I do. But in my mind, the amount of human data that exists seems too robust to be ignored. So there's a few specific bioregulators that I've tried. I'll give you my protocol. 4 different peptide bioregulators per month. The expense there is a lot, but not crazy. I've actually started some, I'm alternating 30-day protocols, 30 days of growth hormone and 30 days of growth hormone secretagogues, alternating back and forth. You guys know I'm taking testosterone. I'm also taking, just started taking thyroid. So I tried to start taking 60 grains of Armour thyroid, which is naturally occurring thyroid. And so the reason we do that is because all men over 40 have these degenerative cells. Like all of our cells are losing their functionality. So by replacing these hormones, the suggestion is we can substantially reverse our biological age. I'm not advocating that everybody go out and do testosterone, growth hormone, and thyroid. Go do your blood first, telling you what I'm doing. But these peptide bioregulators are worth looking at. And so I'm putting together a 6-month protocol for my guys. I only coach 12 guys at a time. You guys know that. And they're all doing it. We've done epigenetic testing, or we're doing it this week. And we're going to do it again in July to see what we've actually done objectively. So I'll keep you guys posted on how that goes. Give you guys a little insight into that. So we're doing some peptides, some supplements, specific diet protocol, which actually, by the way, we're going to do every month is going to be a different diet protocol. Some of the months are going to be very low saturated fat. Some of the months are going to be very low carbohydrate. So we're going to kind of alternate through to see what actually impacts our epigenetics. Someone's unmuted. Any question?
Methylene blue, Ben?
That stuff kind of scares me, bro. So everyone who says that they suggest doing NAD also suggests methylene blue. I don't know, man. Anything that makes me pee blue, I'm like, I don't know. it just feels weird. I'm a skeptic at heart, right? You guys all know that, man. I'm a big skeptic. So I don't know, man. I'm going to hold off on that one. There's a lot of people doing it, but I'm going to hold off on that one.
I've been using MOTC, MOTC, and you and I exchanged some messages yesterday. And I find that it cranks up my appetite and seems to do great things for energy. NAD I've used and find that to be pretty beneficial as well.
I actually mentioned to you on my voice note that there's a specific protocol you need to do for MOTC that everyone fucks up. So here's the catch with MOTC. Once you mix it, you have to do the entire bottle because it's no longer active after 4 hours. So if you're doing microdosing of MOTC, it's useless. So the suggestion is to do an entire bottle every other day for 2 weeks. I have a protocol. I told you, if you text me, I'll send you the protocol. There's a mitochondrial protocol, and it's probably going to cost you probably $700 for 3 weeks, which is not cheap, but I haven't done it personally yet. I've done MOTC personally. I've done SS31. which is another protocol and another peptide in there. And there's a third one. I think it's Humanin. Those three apparently are just resetting people's mitochondria, like to like teenage capabilities.
Okay. Humanin, Motsi. What was the other? Sorry.
Just text me, brother. I don't want to. I don't.
Okay. Sorry.
If you want, I could find it. Let me just pull it up. Yeah. So here it is. For between 2 and 3 weeks, you do 1 milligram of Humanin every day. With MOTC, you do 5 milligrams every other day. And with SS31, you do 15 milligrams every day for 2 to 3 weeks. So it's a pretty significant investment.
Oh.
But that's the protocol.
Thank you.
So one of the things that this guy did say, by the way, so here's how I work, guys. I find people who are just really good at this stuff, who are like the researchers, and then I pay them for consultancy. So I'll jump on the phone with them for 2 hours or, 4 hours or something like that and be like, hey, man, tell me everything you know. So I just pay for their time and dig into their questions. So there's a few things that these guys said that everyone, like there's a peptide that like, dude, basically, if you take this, it basically kills the cancer cells in your body. Do I know that to be true? No, but this is what they're saying. There's one that basically destroys all senolytic cells. So you got to do it every few years. There's one that every man should be like, if you're waking up to pee every night, he's like, everyone should be taking these peptobioregulators. It'll eliminate the likelihood of prostate cancer. So if you want to have children or if you want to knock your prostate cancer, there's so many things we can be taking. It just gets you to ask the questions. Cause I don't want to dump all this stuff on you, but if there's specific questions you're trying to solve, then ask, and I'm happy to throw it back at you.
Little off topic, but I'm just going to jump in and say how happy it makes me to see Matt on this call and to see you two connect. And he's one of my favorite people. So I'm glad to bring him into Muscle Intelligence.
I appreciate you, Russ. And Matt's been sending me a few messages, man. We've sent him a few messages. So and if I can support, I consider it done.
Thank you, brother. Thank you both. I know Russell to be a pretty damn good man.
Yeah, I can tell. Jen, sorry we're 9 minutes late. I apologize, guys. I was really respectful of your time. Thank you for sticking around. And I'm sure I will see you same time next week. Do great this week, gentlemen. Work hard.
Thanks, man. Thanks,
guys. Hey, take care, fellas.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, everyone.